I hear a lot of people saying the blues, the blues, but I'm gonna tell you what the blues is. When you ain't got no money.
Welcome to Row 2 Play Podcast. I am your game master, Kent Blue. We are an actual play podcast where I play tabletop role-playing games with my friends from all over the world. So if you're ready, grab a player sheet, grab some dice, and let's row to play. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Row to Play Podcast. My name's Kent Blue. I am your game master. And we are kicking off Relationship Month for February. I know it's kind of cliche, but with Valentine's Day coming up, I wanted to run some games and feature some games that are based around relationships. Romantic, maybe not quite so romantic, but all about a relationship between characters and building a relationship and finding out what that relationship means. And this week, we are starting out with Hot Guys Making Out. It is a role-playing game by Ben Lehman that is, it's kind of a yaoi, which is Japanese entertainment. We go more into it in the episode. And by we, I mean myself and my guest this week, Austin Wilson. You heard him back as Alec on our Everyone is John episodes. He's a co-host of the Hideous Energy podcast. He is a creator. He writes comics. He wrote Reproduct, which is out by Magnetic Press. You can go find that. I'll link to it in the show notes. He's wrote a bunch of short comics. He wrote Hotline Miami, a short comic that the creator said, well, this is canon now, so that's really cool. You can definitely find out everything about Austin. Follow him on Twitter, at Austin R. Wilson. He's also started up a new Twitter called at Ledger Books, which is a book blog that's run by him. He's got a site that's coming soon, but definitely give it a follow on Twitter at Ledger Books and see what's going on there. Austin is very insightful and very intelligent and always has such great things to say about anything that he's talking about it. I suggest following him on Twitter and following at Ledger Books. You won't regret it. Austin's such a great guy, such a good friend of mine. We had a ton of fun playing this game. We played over Row 20, which this was my first time using the website Row 20. It's really good, but man, did we have problems. I would draw cards, I couldn't see my cards. It was a mess, but we made it work. The game was tons of fun. We told a great story, I feel like, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. So I don't really have anything else to say. I've got some appearances coming up later this month on Victory Condition Gaming Channel. If you follow the show on social media, you'll know that I'm actually running two games for them coming up. I'm running a game of Kids on Bikes by John Gilmore and Doug Lewandowski. Doug Lewandowski is going to be a player in that game, so that is super intimidating. And then I'm running a game of Honey Heist for them. That was part of a Victory Condition Gaming subscriber drive. They reached a certain amount, and whenever they did that, I said, hey, Doug, let me come on, run a game for you and some other people. So we did a poll, and Honey Heist by Grant Howitt won out, so I'm going to be running that. And then soon after that, there's actually going to be an interview on there that I'm going to be with Doug on, where we're going to interview Grant Howitt. It should be a lot of fun. Great stuff coming out from Victory Condition Gaming, as always. Be sure to go subscribe to him, check him out, watch for Road to Play appearances in the future. But yeah, with that, let's get into some Hot Guys Making Out with Austin Wilson. All right, everyone, this week we are playing Hot Guys Making Out. It is a game by Ben Lehman. It's basically a yaoi, which we'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. This week I have with me my good friend Austin Wilson from the Hideous Energy podcast, among other things. Austin, welcome back.
I am just extremely excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Whenever I found out about this game, you were one of the few people I thought would actually play this game and do well with me.
Oh yeah, as soon as you said, I think we were talking and you said the title one day, and I was like, I'm playing that. We're gonna play that game. I have to play it.
It is definitely a title that reaches out and kind of grabs your attention.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, Hot Guys Making Out is a yaoi, which is, it's a form of Japanese entertainment that's, it's kind of, well, it's, help me out here, Austin.
It's hard to describe is what it is. David, my co-host on Hideous Energy, he was going to the library recently, probably like 2 or 3 months ago, and stumbled across some manga that he wanted to read. He picked it up, and he was surprised to find out that it was yaoi, which we had always known about since we've read comics for a long time, and it's just one of those things that kind of comes around whenever you read comics. Basically, yaoi, and this is as about a layman definition as you can get, yaoi, Japanese manga involving one or more usually male characters involved in some sort of gay relationship. That's as baseline as it can get. There's way more going on with it. We tried to even talk about it on Hideous Energy and do some research and kind of figure out exactly what yaoi is, but there are a lot of cultural hurdles that we, as you know, David and I were in Indiana, so a lot of hurdles that we will have to clear at some point to try and figure out exactly what yaoi is, because there's weird like consent issues, and it's a subgenre of a subgenre, kind of. That so baseline thing you need to know: manga about dudes kissing, and usually way more than that too. Like real hardcore, way more than that.
Yeah, so I did some research when I first found out about it, and I learned two things. One, that it's mostly written by women, and that's kind of the target audience, it seems to be, is for women.
Right.
And two, it's not spelled Y-O-W-E-E, so that's what I thought was. I messaged David at one point. I was like, I think I just found a role-playing game about yaoi, but I spelled it that way, and he had a good laugh at that. So,
yeah, that's a different, probably a different subgenre somewhere.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, this game is, it's centered around, well, you can play it with up to four people. We're only doing the two-player game where you play as Honore, which is a... he's kind of a formal nobleman during the Spanish Civil War in the 30s, I believe it was. And you play and then the other player today I'm going to be playing as Honore, and Austin is going to take the role of Gonzalvo, which is Honore's young ward. He's a shy young man that has recently been orphaned by the war, and Honore takes him in because there's some sort of mysterious connection between Honore and Gonzalvo's father. So with that, I think we'll... Do you got something to say there, Austin?
No, okay. I'm just excited. I'm just interested and excited about how this is going to go.
Yeah, me too. So I'm going to read a little bit from the book, and then we'll be going. So,
all right.
The car races through the dark mountain roads, crisscrossing through fascist and Republican territories, dodging roadblocks and checkpoints. Pelted by rain and gravel, it finally arrives at a noble house, well-kept but ancient. In front of the house stands a beautiful man, his eyes distant, his mouth frowning slightly. Next to him, a maid holds an umbrella to keep the rain off her master's long, flowing hair. The driver opens Gonzalvo's door. Somehow at that moment, the young man understands that he has arrived at his new home. Does he dare give voice to his feelings? In this remote territory, can he find shelter from the horrors of war? Who is this gorgeous mystery man, and what hidden debt does he owe to Gonzalvo's murdered father? So, yeah. So we each have dealt ourselves a hand of five cards, and we'll use those to kind of propel the story. So Austin, you can go first, pick up right there as Gonzalvo has stepped out and is looking at this man, this beautiful man with the long flowing hair.
All right. So let's see. I can't believe that I've survived this war and that I've ended up here at this horrible mansion. But who is this god with this hair? There's no way this man is from anywhere near here or has seen anything even close to what I've seen. He seems too perfect. He seems too sure. And I'm so unsure of what I'm going to do here. I don't know what to do.
All right. That was good.
Thanks.
All right. So Honore is standing on the porch looking out as his butler gets out of the car, opens the door, and this young man looks about 19 or 20, still in university, but has shown up there. And Andre, he looks at him and just has a deep moment to himself where he's thinking, what have I got myself into? Taking on this young man, bring him into my home. I don't know how to care for anybody. I've lived alone so long and become accustomed to my life, but I owe it to his father to watch over this young man and guide him through life and make sure that he grows to be a good man like his father was. And so Honoré steps out from underneath the umbrella and walks to meet young Gonzalvo in the rain and extends his hand.
So I have to draw a card. Okay, so that's technically a pass. So I have to describe some bit of environmental detail not relating to my character. As Honoré walks towards Gonzalvo, a strong wind blows, and it brings with it the scent of maybe tobacco, but also potentially a factory in the distance somewhere. It has a slight peppery scent, but also sort of sweet.
Nice. So Honoré passes through the rain. They meet standing in the rain, and he grasps, Gonzalvo shyly reaches out and grabs Honoré's hand, and he shakes it, and there's a flash of lightning, and Honoré sees the features on the young man, and he's taken by them. And he takes the handshake, and he pulls Gonzalvo in for an embrace, and he holds him, comforting him because of the recent loss of his parents. But Honoré knows that just at this moment, after seeing this young man and seeing the resemblance of his father, he holds him in the embrace, and he feels there's something, maybe something there, just a small spark of something, and it feels good, and it feels right. And he's conflicted because he hasn't had any sort of relationship, whether friendly or a romantic relationship, in so long. So it feels right, but it's also a little bit confusing.
All right, so I have 6 cards, and I can't play any of them. Oh, wait, I do have one card I could play. I forgot what the Joker was.
Okay. I think it's just treated as like an 11, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, so it's just a normal action. All right, here we go. Hello there, Mr. Honoré. It's nice to meet you. I don't know if I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Well, I knew your father, and I always promised to look after his family should anything happen to him during the war. So when I received the news about your parents, I had my butler here, Oliver, seek you out, and I wanted him to bring you by just so I could check in on you and know that, and let you know that you have a place, that you have somebody in your life that you can turn to, and that is here to help you out. And you could stay here in my manor as long as you want, as long as you feel comfortable. But I just wanted you to know that you do have someone.
I appreciate that. Let's see. So do I have to play a card then?
I'll play it. Excuse me. I'll play a card here. I think it alternates, but you know, we'll go with what feels comfortable. If you have something you want to do, yeah, you can definitely play a card. If not, I will play what I've got.
Yeah, I don't have anything I can play.
Okay. I've got one more I can play. So I played an ace, which is the threat. That's the first, whenever in the game, whenever aces represent threat, there's a rising threat in the game. That the more aces that come on the table, the more the threat becomes apparent and can take action. Honoré breaks the embrace and turns, puts his hand on Gonzalvo's around his shoulder and turns him to the house and motions for Oliver to get Gonzalvo's bag and bring it inside. And he turns and as they're walking up back onto the porch, the lamp on the side of the door, he glances at it and he sees reflected in the glass around the light source, he sees the number one reflected on all sides. All right, so that, so now it'll be your turn, which you don't have any play, do you?
No, I don't.
So you'll pass, so you can go ahead and pass and describe a little detail of the scene, and then I'm going to end up passing as well.
Okay. As the two of them approach the door, the wind rustles their clothing and their hair and the light, and little dust devils dance around their feet, and a spider descends in the windowsill, and another bolt of lightning jabs into the ground in the distance, and for just 1 second, Gonzalvo can see the spider web between the spider and the top of the windowsill.
All right, now we'll pass as well. So they cross. Honore opens the door, and they cross into the manor, and it's a very nice manor. It's not too big, but they're standing there in the entryway, and the house just has kind of an old feeling to it. And Honore, just when he walks through with Gonzalvo, he has memories of the time that Gonzalvo's father had come to the manor to speak with Honore about business, and those images just flash into his head, and he is just reminded of the friendship he had with Gonzalvo's father and the commitment that he made to Gonzalvo's father about his family. We will recall these cards. So where do we want the next scene to take place? It doesn't have to take place immediately after. It can take place a little bit in the future, a day or two, or whatever. What do you think?
Let's say maybe like a few hours later in the kitchen. This is after Gonzalvo settled in, bags have been unpacked, and kind of getting into that like very first moment of calm after arriving at a brand new place.
Okay. So you can play a card and start with Gonzalvo. Whatever's happening with them.
Okay, let's see. Let's go with... So Gonzalvo's in the kitchen, sitting down at the table. Oliver is at the stove, fiddling with one of the burners. It's an old gas stove, and he's having a hard time keeping it lit. And Gonzalvo's watching and thinking about how... He feels cold, and he knows the tea would warm him up. And he's curious if he's ever going to feel truly warm again, because he knows that the tea won't last and won't make him warm. And he just feels so chilled, and he's worried that that's never going to go away.
Nice. Very nice. So I'm playing the Five of Hearts, which I get to do a special action with any heart.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Let's see here. Express my emotions or give an internal monologue. Okay. So Honore he's been in the house. He's been up in his study, and he comes down to the kitchen because he knows that Oliver is making tea, and he stops at the door frame and just looks in, and he's watching as Oliver is trying to get the gas lit and going so the tea can be brewed. And he sees Gonzalvo sitting there, watching Oliver, and he begins to think about when Gonzalvo was first born. I remember when he was just born, he was so small when he came out of the womb, and his parents were worried because he was so small. They were worried that he wouldn't make it, even though the doctors said he was healthy. They were so concerned that he wasn't going to be strong enough to survive the world because he was born so small, but he's grown up. He has grown. He's not the biggest of men, but he looks healthy, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that they had a healthy son who he just looks so strong, and he is handling it so well. And it reminds me of the strength that his father had, and it's just the strength that I fed off of when I needed it. And he just kind of stares for a moment and he makes a movement, and Gonzalvo turns his head, and they kind of smile at each other, just a friendly smile between the two as they notice each other, and as Oliver is still working on getting that, getting the stove lit to brew the tea.
All right, I have a card I can play. It is a 7. Gonzalvo notices Honoré staring at him from the doorway, and their eyes meet for a brief second before Gonzalvo looks away and thinks to himself, how can he look at me like that? How can he see? How can it seem like he sees something other than what's sitting here? I'm such a lost and weak person. But when he looks at me, there's a part of my head that thinks he sees something other than that. But that's crazy. I think I want that to be what he sees.
I played a 7 of diamonds, so I have a standard normal action there. So Honoré he sees Oliver struggling with the stove, and it's something that Oliver has trouble with. So Honoré walks over there, stands up straight, and walks over across and takes the match out of Oliver's hand. He says, "Oliver, I think I'll make the tea tonight. How about you sit down and welcome and tell Gonzalvo the history about the house. It does have a rich history. Tell him that, and I will take care of the tea this evening." And so he gets the match. He gets the stove lit really quick. Even though Oliver is the one who typically makes the tea in the evening, Honoré he gets in there. He gets it lit. He puts the kettle on and gets the tea ready and gets it burned. And turns around and just watches as Oliver is telling Gonzalvo just kind of the history of the house and how it and who built it and when it was built and just this grand history of this manor and how it's been in Honoré's family for generations.
Okay. All right. So I am going to play the second ace, which means the threat is clearly apparent and can directly menace one character.
Excellent.
Do you want to do that, or do you?
I'll let you take it if you got an idea.
Okay. I've got an idea. As Honoré standing at the stove, watching his young ward talk to his aged and decrepit but loving butler Oliver, he turns briefly to look at the kettle to make sure that the burner is still lit. And as he looks down and watches the flames flickering beneath the kettle, he catches a shadow on the edge of the stovetop where the flames are flickering. And it is a very obvious dark black numeral 10 flickering on the stovetop.
Man, I'm so interested to see where we end up with these numbers. All right, I'm going to have to pass. So Honoré, as he sees this numeral 10 on the edge of the stove, it's as if everything around him goes darker. It's as if the lights are turned down, and he feels cold, just kind of building up from his fingers up through his veins, just as like ice water going through his veins, and everything around him just turns cold. Then I will draw a card.
I actually have something I can play, so.
Okay, good.
I will play a King of Spades, which means I get to do a normal action. Gonzalvo listens to Oliver, you know, tell him the history of this manor, which sure is interesting and long, but there's something more interesting in the room, and that is Honoré's face and the way the flames cast light across his jaw, his neck, his hair, it is particularly distracting.
All right. Well, I don't have anything that I can play that's equal to or higher than that, so I will pass again. And this time when I pass, I think I'm just going to have a tense silence, which is a mechanic in the game. You could just you could just take a tense silence.
Tense silence. No, that's perfect.
Okay, tense silence is over.
Silence. I also have to pass.
Okay.
Let's see. A bit of environmental detail not relating to my character. There's a faint scent of natural gas in the air, overpowering the former scent of maybe tobacco, maybe a factory. And Oliver, Gonzalvo notices that all of the knuckles on Oliver's right hand are skinned and scarred. And they were probably bloody maybe last week, but now they seem dry but also injured.
Dang, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, let's recall all of our cards. I'm just going to recall all of them.
So there's two aces on the table.
Two aces on the table. Deal out five more. And what scene do we want to set next? So I think we should go maybe a couple days later.
Okay.
Everything's been kind of normal for a couple days. All right, so I think this time they are out. They're walking out in the woods that is just behind the manor. It's dried up. It hasn't rained for a couple days. So they're out on a walk. And Honore is just kind of showing Gonzalvo the grounds. So you can play a card. Okay. and go from there.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play a six of hearts, which for Mr. Gonzalvo means that I may, if I wish, take decisive and successful action. So here we go.
I'm ready.
Gonzalvo and Honore are walking through the woods. Honore's pointing out, you know, a flower here. He points out some Cleopatra's earrings to the side and says, you know, that's one of his favorites. He thinks they're beautiful, and Gonzalvo agrees. He thinks they're beautiful. The sun is hitting the canopy of leaves above them just right, and Gonzalvo realizes that for the first time since he got out of that car, he's happy. He's content. He's not nervous or worrying about what he's going to do with his life. He's just in the moment. And that's when he reaches out and grabs Honore's hand.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, what card did you play?
It was a six of hearts.
I'm going to play a seven of spades.
Okay.
So they're walking, and Honore is, you know, he's showing the flowers, and they're talking about the flowers and how beautiful they look in this part, in the woods. And Honore says, the foliage and the flowers are really, really a favorite of mine here on the grounds. It's just, especially in the spring, everything blooms so bright and it's so colorful. And it's almost, you know, Gonzalo, it's almost impossible to be out here and not just be content with the beautiful nature that surrounds just everywhere out here. And it really just, it helps whenever I need to be at peace, I come and I walk because the colors are so bright and vibrant. And then at this point he feels Gonzalvo kind of take his hand and he's caught off guard for just a moment. And then he squeezes Gonzalvo's hand tightly and he kind of gives him a side glance and just takes in his face, and he just feels just this the just warmth just rush through him where he had been cold since the night there in the kitchen when he saw the numeral, the one and the zero. He'd never really had warmed up, but whenever Gonzalvo takes his hand, he feels a warmth that's kind of spreads, you know, starts in his hand and kind of spreads up through his chest and through his arms, and he squeezes Gonzalo's hand tightly and kind of pulls him in just a little closer.
What card did you play?
Seven of spades.
Seven of spades. Okay. So I'm going to play a seven of hearts, which means I get to do another decisive and successful action if I wish. And oh, I wish. As Honoré pulls Gonzalvo closer, he feels a heat in his cheeks rush along the backs of his arms from his shoulders down to his elbows. And Honoré's hand and Gonzalvo's hand doesn't feel clammy. It doesn't feel foreign. It feels like another part of him. It feels like a warm stone that he found on a mountaintop. It feels like something he could keep. And with that in his mind, he lifts Honoré's hand up to his mouth and says, "Thank you so much for taking care of me. I know my father would appreciate it." And he lightly kisses Honoré's knuckles.
All right, I think I've got the perfect card to play right now.
Fuck yeah.
I am going to play the King of Hearts. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So when Gonzalvo says this to Honoré, Honoré sees he looks deep into his eyes and he feels just that snap connection you feel when you realize that there is something going on between you and another person. It's a feeling that Honoré is not all too familiar with, but he recognizes it and he feels it. And so he looks into Gonzalo's eyes and he says, "It is my pleasure and my honor to be able to take you in and provide for you and make sure that you're safe." And he takes Gonzalo's hand and he pulls him in and he wraps his hand around his waist. And he pulls him in closely and he looks in his eyes and they stare into each other's eyes for just a moment. And then Honoré leans in and kisses Gonzalvo. What starts as a small kiss slowly builds into a more passionate kiss as we look, kind of pull out, and we see the flowers are just all in bloom. And it's just a perfect setting as the two share a passionate moment between each other for the first time.
Fuck yeah.
Got to the making out.
Yeah.
So that was a King of Hearts.
The King of Hearts, yeah. Okay. I have to play a Queen of Spades. Well, that means that just a normal action. All right. As the kiss ends, Gonzalvo is unable to stop himself from wondering if this is a mistake. He's made these mistakes in the past. He goes back and forth in the moment. He thinks, even though I know I've made mistakes in the past and I've had my heart broken and I've broken others' hearts, this doesn't feel like that. But the fear is still there. Honoré seems like an honorable man. So this doesn't feel like a mistake, but Gonzalvo decides to be cautiously optimistic as they walk further into the woods after what was admittedly an amazing kiss.
Yeah, it was. So I'm going to have to pass and draw another card. So,
okay.
Yeah, they walk deeper into the woods, and the greens are just very green, and the leaves are hanging over. And Honoré has kind of walked them towards a path that he's slowly developed over the years, where the trees are hanging over, and you can see flowers just a little bit beyond the trees. And it's the sunlight, the rays of sun are just slicing through the trees and just seem to be lighting the path that they're going to take.
So I also have to pass. I'm playing three diamonds. And correct me if I'm wrong, but since the aces are on the board still, we can use them, right?
Yep. You can advance. You can Sorry, you can use the threat again.
Yeah. Use the threat. Okay. Gonzalvo sees the end of the forest ahead. He sees that his time together with Honoré is maybe drawing to an end. He knows he's a busy man. There's things that have to be done at the manor. There's things that have to be done in town. Their little stroll through this idyllic forest glade and collection of flowers is coming to an end. He looks up ahead, and the light shining down is casting beautiful shadows on the ground, and he knows that they're going to walk through them, and he wonders if they'll be cold. Honoré, on the other hand, looks up and sees the end of the forest and sees the shadows on the ground, and he sees a shimmering number 9 on the dirt. And he thinks, when he walks through it, he wonders if it will be real or if it will disappear.
Damn. I like this threat. I don't know, I don't quite know what it is yet, but I like where it's going. I like the imagery and everything behind it.
Yeah, I'm interested.
All right, where do we want this scene to take place?
I think later that night on the same day. And I'm thinking maybe either like in a billiards room or some sort of like room for leisure within the manor.
Okay, yeah, I like a billiards room.
Okay.
I think that's a good place, yeah. All right, Gonzalvo, you can start us off.
All right, well, I am going to play a 9 of hearts and get shit off and cracking immediately. Everyone's relaxing in the billiards room. Honoré is on a chaise lounge in the corner. He is going back and forth between sort of thumbing through a magazine that has high-end sofas and ottomans. Oliver is in the other. He's on the other side of the room. He is whittling. It looks like maybe it's an owl. It also might potentially be a fire hydrant. Not really sure yet. Gonzalvo's at the billiards table, kind of, you know, hitting some balls around. He's not really doing a whole lot. But something occurs to him as he sets his cue down. He stands straight up, looks directly at Honoré, and says to him, "Did you love my father?"
Oh, that sets up exactly this card I'm going to play. I'm playing the, let's see here, the Jack of Hearts. So Honoré, he's lounging and just kind of watching the room. And whenever he hears Gonzalvo ask this, he kind of sits up and he looks at Gonzalvo. And he takes just a moment. He takes a deep breath and he says, "I did love your father. I loved your father probably more than I've loved anybody, but it was more of a brotherly love. We grew up together and we played together as young kids. We went off to university together. And after university, we went our own ways. He went and joined up with the army, because he had ideals of needing to serve. Your father was very honorable and he loved his country and he had very strong beliefs and I didn't agree with him. I told him that war was dangerous. I said all these things that he already knew, but your father was very, very strong-willed. And once he was stubborn. The bastard was stubborn as could be. And he wouldn't listen to anybody. He wouldn't listen to your mother. He wouldn't listen to anybody. But he went off and he went to war and he survived. And every day I worried. And every day I sat here in this manner thinking about your father and thinking about what he must be doing and what he must be feeling. And And it's because I did love him as a brother, and it's hard to, and Honoré, his breath kind of catches, and he's like, it's really hard knowing that he's not there, even though I hadn't spoke to him since he went off to the war. There is an emptiness, but when I look at you, I see your father in you a little bit, but I see so much more. I see, it's like the qualities that I loved as a brother in your father are stronger in you, and I mean I don't know how to put it, Gonzalvo. I don't know how to tell you exactly how I'm feeling, but I do. I mean, I am feeling something, and it's amplified so much more and in such a different way. And he just kind of stops and kind of lays back in the chair, kind of exhausted because he's not used to expressing emotion or anything. And he's forgot for a moment that Oliver is in the room, and he glances over and Oliver is just still whittling and has kind of the smallest of smirks on his face.
All right. Which means it is time for me to play the third ace.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Gonzalvo standing there. He grips the edge of the billiards table. He grips it so hard as his knuckles ache and feel like they could pop. Everything Honoré just said, he feels like it cuts him, and he's not sure if he's mad or if he understands. He doesn't know how to deal with it, but in the middle of him not knowing how to deal with it, the three lights hanging above the billiards table, which are covered in one of those green shades that sort of remind you of tortoiseshell, the three bulbs all explode, and they cast glass almost everywhere. It rains down on the billiards table, and that's when Gonzalvo and Honoré see a flickering numeral 8 on top of the billiards table. Oliver leaps up and sprints to the billiards table, and he says, "Not yet, you bastard. Not yet, goddammit." And as he's walking towards the billiard table, he steps on a large piece of glass, and he still has his brogues on, even though Honoré tells him, you know, after a certain point in the night, you can take your brogues off. Why don't you just relax? And because he has his brogues on and the piece of glass is large, he loses traction and he slips and hits the side of his head on the corner of the billiards table.
Shit. Damn. Wow. Yeah, I am going to have to pass. And let's see. So, okay. So at the sound of Oliver's head hitting the edge of the billiards table, it's as if all other sound is sucked out of the world. And that is the only sound, and it just kind of echoes through the room as Gonzalvo and Honoré both watch with horror as Oliver slides to the ground. And there's just the sound of his body slumping to the ground, and then it's just deafening silence in the room before they react fully.
All right. I can actually play one more card. It is a King of Diamonds. Gonzalvo is shocked, scared. He knows he should help Oliver, but he's completely confused. He saw the number 8 and has no idea if he should say something to Honoré about it, but also there's no way Honoré didn't see it. It was, you know, all across the table, you know, three flickering the eights, but then Oliver seems very injured. And what did he mean? Not yet. God damn it. No, you bad. What was he talking about? This is all so confusing. Gonzalvo is halfway convinced that he is ill and, you know, needs to lie down. But he also knows that he doesn't feel ill. He feels like he's in complete possession of his faculties. So now it's just to figure out what's going on.
All right. Everything's low, low. All right, so I guess I will have to pass again. And I think we've said everything that needs to be said about the environment. So I guess I'm just going to have to take a tense silence. I can't think of anything to add.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so have you got anything else you can play?
Nope, I'm going to have to also pass. I will just say that there's glass scattered everywhere, and there is 5 small divots in the chaise lounge where Honoré was gripping it when he saw the number 8 appear.
That's it. That is part 1 of Hot Guys Making Out. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said up top, it was a lot of fun to play this game. It was really cool. The card play in it's really interesting, and coming up with a threat, which Austin and I decided we were going to pretty much come up with as we went. We knew we wanted to have a countdown to something, but that kind of revealed itself as we played. Next week, you're going to find out exactly what that threat is, and it's so cool and so interesting. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. And I know Austin, he was the brains behind that. He is such a creative mind. And so thank you to Austin for making that work out. So yeah, like I said up top, go follow Austin on Twitter at Austin R. Wilson. Follow at Ledger Books on Twitter to see all the cool book blog stuff Austin's got going on. Be sure to tune in next week whenever we wrap up this game of Hot Guys Making Out. And until then, get out there, cuddle up with someone, or, you know, do your own thing. You don't have to have somebody just because it's February and Valentine's Day. Do what makes you feel good. But most importantly, remember to have fun and roll to play. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Visit roll2playpodcast.com for more information. ROLL2playpodcast.com. Like us over on Facebook at Roll2PlayPodcast. Follow us on Twitter at Roll2PlayPod. Have a question or comment? Email us at Roll2PlayPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to play with the game with us, just hit us up on any of our social media and let us know. And lastly, our music is the intro track from the Spellbreaker EP by Tri-Tachyon. Visit soundcloud.com/Tri-Tachyon.